I was born bold.
Deliverr. Simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverr.com.au. Worth. All the workshop equipment you need on the go. Download the new Worth app today.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
All our attention rightfully is with the AFL Grand Final on Saturday night up at the Gabba between Richmond and Geelong. But if your team is not involved, and that is 16 others, then your attention is focused on the trade period and what's happening and who's going where. And no one has been a bigger player in this space over the past 5 to 10 years than our next guest. And it's a delight to welcome him to the SEN family and the Trade Radio family. And he joins us, Stephen Silvani, in the studio. Welcome, Sausage.
Thanks for having us, Gaz. Tim.
Nice to see you, young man. What have you been doing? Just had a little hiatus for a year or two? Pretty much 12 months.
Locked away like most people, Gaz. So, hopefully we're out by the weekend or the following weekend. It'll be nice to get moving a little bit.
And so, just before we start talking about all matters football and the departure from Carlton, as messy as it was at the time, that type of thing, this text came through. Did you touch that goal on the line in the 1993 grand final?
Oh, geez. I'm pretty sure I did, Tim.
I know you did.
But I think I've forgotten.
How clearly did you touch it? How many fingers did it rattle?
I think maybe I caught the end of a couple of my fingers, but look, you can't take anything away from Michael Long. That goal was a super goal, super goal.
I hope you touch it. You carry on like a ball.
My boys keep giving it to me, Gaz. I always tell them not to argue with the umpire, and that's not a great example to set.
Hey, talking about rattled, you know, the whole departure from Carlton, okay. It looked messy. It was messy. Have you been able to reconcile what took place now?
Oh, look, I think, first of all, I've got to say, Tim, I love my time at Carlton, other than probably the last sort of 3 months or so. There's some great people there. You know, we worked really hard to build a list and get the salary cap into order. And even in other areas of the football club, you know, when a team or a club hasn't been successful for a long time, there are a lot of obstacles and hurdles you've got to overcome. And I think, you know, the board did work very hard to get a number of things into place. And I think that, I guess, the heavy lifting, the hard yards had sort of been done. So really enjoyed my time at Carlton, some great people. I think really it got a bit, as you said, it got messy in the end.
Yeah.
And throughout the year, I'd actually been talking to Mark about, it's Mark LaGiudice, about moving on,
yep.
Whether that was at the end of last year or whether that was at some stage this year. But that decision was made for me. So, and that happens in footy clubs.
It does. Your situation's a little bit different, though, because obviously the Silvani name synonymous with the Carlton Football Club. You had two boys there at the time, Ben and also Jack. The fact that they got entangled in this in some way, how disappointing was that for you?
I just think, looking back at the press release, it just put the boys under the bus. I thought it was amateur, to be honest, and really lacked any respect in terms of how you handle people on the way out. And, you know, that was probably the most hurtful thing. That I think your two biggest assets at a football club are your supporters and your players. The way that press release was written up, I think put two players under the bus and put more pressure on them than they should have to handle throughout a season. And ultimately, if he actually used, and I'm talking about Kane Little here,
yes,
if he actually used the words he used to me when he decided not to go on to me with me, I would have been fine with that. But when you use words that weren't in that, and I asked him if that's the reason why you want to not renew my contract, that's fine, but make sure you use those words you've used. But he didn't have the courage or conviction
Which words did you take exception to?
Well, complexity. Complexity was never mentioned to me. Ultimately, the words that were mentioned to me or were spoken to me was that it was untenable that I remain at the football club because my boys were there.
Right. Okay.
The complexity around the decisions surrounding Jack and Ben, that's what you're talking about.
No, Jack and Ben and also other staff members, which was really taken back purely because when you have like any organisation, you have performance reviews. It was never brought up in my performance review, so to be brought up during a trade period, because there was some argy-bargy and some real debate in terms of what we should be doing with the list. That was disappointing.
I've been in this situation myself, obviously, with my son playing at a club that, I played 4-2, and I hadn't been through what you've now been through, though. How difficult is it for Jack to sort of remain at Carlton?
Well, I really haven't spoken to him about that, but he's his own person.
Yep.
And he's like any other player on the list, Tim. I mean, you face challenges and whether it's through form, whether it's through injuries, whether it's through relationships, But my view is, so he's like any other player, but when a club actually puts more pressure on that player than that player should actually carry on through a season or carry through a season, I find that frustrating.
Before we move on and talk about, the current drafting situation and trade period, that type of thing, one of the things that was reported that you fell out with Carlton about and over at that time was the recruitment of Eddie Betts. Can you take us back to that time and talk about what you saw that recruitment doing or what impact you thought that was going to have on Carlton this season?
Look, obviously, when you're a list manager, you have a look at the list and you work with people around you. I mean, a list management meeting is people have their own opinions and ideas and what. But fundamentally, when you're put in that role, those decisions basically are reliant on you.
Yep.
But collectively, you hope you all come to a decision and we all agree to it. Ultimately, I look back and I guess I'm privy to some information, but we all agreed that Eddie Betts should come to the Carlton Football Club.
Right. So you all agreed on that?
We all agreed on that. But it was at a price. At a price.
Right.
In terms of what the deal looked like, what his deal looked like. We all agree on that, but when someone above decides, well, you know what, I'm going to change those rules. And the reasons why you get a little bit annoyed and frustrated at times is that when we went into the Carlton Football Club, it wasn't just myself, there was Andy McKay and Stephen Trigg and there was Sam Powell at the time. Our list wasn't in a good state and either was our salary cap. And you work really, really hard to get your salary cap and TPP into a position that, you can look after the players now and you can look after players in the future.
Yep.
But when certain people start splashing money out after we all agree what that payment should look like, and particularly as a list manager, when you've got to manage other players and other managers, and that you've got a 17-year player sitting there that you've actually just done a deal with and you look eye to eye with him and say, this is all we can pay you. And then he's been very loyal to your current club or to his club. And I'm talking the Carlton Football Club. And then another player comes in from a club that he previously played for, left on free agent, which is his own right.
Yep.
That then you bring him back. And then you want to pay that player more than that player that has been sitting at that club. I don't find that fair, and that's what I said at the list management. I don't find that fair because we all have a responsibility to make sure that those players are looked after that are loyal to that football club. And when you have people at football clubs overrule your decisions that you've worked so hard for, and because they want memberships to look great, or they want them, they want the accolade, or we're bringing someone back. Is there the right intention for the Carlton Football Club? And I don't think it was.
So in the end, that becomes untenable, yeah?
No, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
So at that stage, just to put some sort of clarity around that, so this is a decision obviously made by Kane Little at that time to go over
100%.
Yeah, without any discussion with you at all? Did you know that that was going to take place, that he was going to offer Eddie Betts more money than what you had previously?
No.
Okay. So that almost makes it a dysfunctional position to find yourself
100%.
In.
100%.
What happened with the Tom Papley? How close did that get? Was that how hard did you go and how close did you get?
No, we look, the Tom Papley, I guess, approach got a little bit messy because I mean, obviously when you have a contracted player, you need to work with their management group really closely. And also that manager needs to condition the club that, which would have been Sydney at the time, he needs to be able to condition that club and give them some significant time to get themselves prepared should a deal be able to be done. When it comes at the last minute, and it's really difficult for clubs to actually do deals because they need to be respected as well and make sure that they can search the marketplace and get their listener order and see what else is out there. But when it comes late, those players that are contracted, it's very, very difficult to get done. So for me, on that deal, we gave Sydney a very, very good offer. But you've got to understand, he was contracted to their football club, I think, for another 2 or 3 years. So they opted not to accept that deal, and that's what happened.
Were you in the deal with Butler at some point? Because that was also reported that you or there was some sort of misunderstanding at Carlton around Butler.
Yeah, well, look, Butler was certainly in the equation at some point, but as a list management team, we decided not to go there. It was really difficult. When you look at what we had coming in, so Eddie Betts was coming in.
Right.
Tom Papley was supposedly coming in, and then you had Butler as well. So ultimately, you've got to be able to get the deal done. And you also had Jack Martin there as well, who plays as a forward as
right.
well. So at some point, you've got to say, well, which ones are our priorities and which ones do we need to let go and be respectful to that player to be able to go search for another club?
So had you known more about the Papley situation earlier, it may have meant that you would have pursued Butler harder at that time?
Look, that could have been a possibility, but ultimately hindsight's a wonderful thing,
yep.
you know. But look, we were committed to try and get Tom Papley through the door, we were committed to get Eddie Betts through the door, and we're committed to get Jack Martin through the door.
Hey, stay there, Sausage. Beautiful start this morning. Stephen Silvani with us. We might keep him a bit longer if we can afford him.
Yep.
He's going to be a part of Trade Radio that kicks off on Monday. It's going to be a fantastic addition as well. We'll come back with Sauce after we speak to Sportsbet.
I was born bold.
Deliverr. Simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverr.com.au. Worth. All the workshop equipment you need on the go. Download the new Worth app today.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great to have you with us. Great to have Stephen Silvani in the studio. ASOS, my favourite Carlton player of all time, legend off the field. Open, honest and transparent, refreshing and brave. Should be more people in footy taking the lead. Great interview, best of the year. Cheers, Hilly. And that's just one of about 100 that have come through. I reckon we've got your 5 jobs this morning, Sausage.
He's doing okay. He doesn't want another job in footy.
No, he's doing okay. Just a quick one. Brandon Ellis, what was the situation with Brandon Ellis?
Certainly had a discussion about him. Obviously met him. Was he priority? Probably not high priority at the stage, but certainly there was interest really depending on whether we got our other priorities through the trade period. So, but look, I think Brandon's gone off and gone to the Gold Coast and done very well for himself there.
Was he one of your priorities? Or was he a Kane Little priority?
I think you can work that one out.
I don't think he was one of your priorities. I want to just go back to the departure and from Carlton itself, because obviously you had that really strong link yourself and Carlton, that love over the years. What hurt you the most about that departure, looking back?
What hurt me the most? Probably when your president has a chat to you and he says, I've fought for you, that the CEO said to him that he felt as though I would sabotage the trade and draft period. And that probably hurt me the most, knowing that, and I hate talking about myself, to be perfectly honest, but when you've played for a club for 17 years and I think you put your body on the line and supported the club all your life, for a person to actually say you'll sabotage the trade and draft period, and really for me, an outsider that's come into the club and really doesn't know a lot about the club and really doesn't know a lot about me, That was probably the most disappointing out of everything that happened.
So that is, I can hear the passion and emotion in your voice, and I've known you a long, long time. So, and I know you don't like talking about yourself. You're very private and quiet. But so for the Kane Little, I'm assuming you're talking about here, suggested to Mark Lejudice that you would sabotage the trade and draft period if you stayed.
Yep.
And did you address that with him?
I think Mark was strong with Kane that he backed me in. He put things into place during that trade period that and Chris Judd was heavily involved in it, and that's what it was. So he put certain things into play that I guess I didn't have to have any further contact with Kane.
We're going
to Chris Judd was heavily involved to what degree
in terms of the trade period that he basically oversaw what was happening through the trade period.
Well, over your head, do you think?
Well, no, not so much over my head. I work with Chris, and I really didn't have any further contact with Kane Little through the trade period.
So he took the lead. He really took your position and was the communicator between the recruiting department and the club.
And the,
Can I, everyone makes mistakes in this business in terms of recruiting, and I think if you get them sort of maybe 66% of the time right, you're probably a genius in this department. The recruitment of Mitch McGovern. How do you reflect on that now? Was that a good decision or a poor decision?
Right as it stands at the minute, and Mitch is a great guy, and I think he's got a lot of talent. I think Mitch was a better player at Adelaide than he was here, than he has been at Carlton. And that's through, I guess, a bit of his own fault in terms of the way he prepares and gets up for training each week. But I just feel as though that the club hasn't done him any favours because they've played him when he's been unfit and out of form.
Want him? You wanted him desperately at the time?
Yeah, we needed to get a player through the club as well. And I see him, he's got some X factor. And particularly with probably the key forwards we've got there, he'd be something from left field that would be really hard to match up on, particularly with Charlie and also Harry up forward. I thought Mitch would be the one that could get out on the loop a little bit. But having said that, he's probably hasn't delivered. He needs to get moving a bit because he has got talent. But for what we got him in the club for and I guess what he's getting paid, he needs to get moving.
Has he got an attitude? Like, has he got a problem with his professionalism, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I just think that he's been given a bit of a free ride at the minute. And if you have a look at his form this year, and I'm only being, this is just my opinion.
Yes.
I think he's been very, very lucky to play a lot of football this year.
Does sometimes.
How do you see him working in with Curno, Mackay, Casbolt, and maybe deconing at some stage?
I think Levi's getting a little bit older. Whether he's going to be around the club in the next 2 to 3 years, I think Levi's about 32 years of age. Excuse me. But I think there's a spot for him. He can play back as well. I know they tried him down back in the last game of the year. But, he's just got to fight like any other players. I mean, there's most players in the competition have years that they really battle and they've got to reassess where they're at and they've got to fight really hard to get a spot in the team and get fitter and stronger and get some continuity in the way they train.
Sausage, we've got a few more questions. We've got to fire at you. I know you've got a coffee with Maxie, but he's going to have to wait. Can you hang around for a bit longer?
I can do that.
Good on you. We'll take some news headlines back with Stephen Silvani. We're here for Deliberate, made to order, and Worth, WURTH. Every customer has their Worth. Download the app. You can stream or watch Trade Radio live on the AFL website or app. It starts on Monday. It runs until the end of the trade period, which is November the 12th, and it is the place to go for all of your trade news, the only place to go. It's been doing it better than anyone for a long time, and I think you were wanting to listen, given Stephen Silvani's start to, not that it's a new media career, he's an old pro, was a Channel 10 legend back in the day. he stays with us. What did you make of Jeremy Cameron's decision? Did you see that coming?
No, I didn't, Gaz. I know the Giants would be gutted. He was there as a 17-year-old, and He's been there, played nine seasons. Yep. He's played there, and I think he was there a season before that, before they actually started up. So he's a massive, massive loss for that football club.
You played a huge role in assembling this list at the start. How are you assessing this? You know, Williams goes, the players have left. Where do you see them right now?
Can I just go back a step or two, Gaz? When the club first started up, they obviously had concessions in relation to draft picks and zones and so forth. But they also had extra money in their salary cap in terms of being able to retain players. That was taken away, and that was a considerable amount of money. Mm. I think we're looking at anywhere between $2 to $3 million at some point. So they started to lose players like Scheel and Treloar and Adams. So we're talking probably 3, 4, 5 years ago. So they lost a lot of those players. But having said that, so I think we've got to take that into account in terms of how many players have left that club. But if you look at the situation at the minute, and this is my opinion, as a club I'd be really worried. The fact that you've probably got 5 players, you've got 3 bona fide players in Williams, Corr, and Cameron leaving the football club. They're in their best 22. Then you look at Hatley and possibly Caldwell leaving, who are high draft picks. If I was that football club and I was a CEO and board, I'd be extremely worried and trying to find out why this is happening. Because to have 5 players pretty much walking out of your club is a very... is very concerning.
Is it just
what
about?
Do you think?
Yeah, just about money.
I don't know whether it's about money, Tim. I think they may have missed their chance of winning a grand final. And you look at the Richmonds, that when you win one, generally it can keep the group together. And these boys they're close. I know they are close up there, but the fact they've sort of possibly missed that chance to nab a grand final win, I think that's hurt them. I really believe probably not so much this year, but the previous 3 to 4 years, they were a realistic chance to win a grand final. They've missed that chance, and I think the players have seen that opportunity maybe slip, and they've opted to go elsewhere. The concerning thing, I think, for the Giants is that they can't panic here, and particularly during this trade period. They've got to reset in terms of what you can't. You can look at it and go, well, we're losing these players. How are we going to replace them for next season? I think you've got to look beyond next season and go, okay, we might have to take a bit of a hit here, but we're going to trade really well. We might have to get picks in, but then we might have to reload the following year. But you just can't panic it during this trade period.
If you're in charge of GWS right now, what would your strategy be around Jeremy Cameron, and whether or not you match the offer, you don't match the offer? How would you go about it?
I haven't put a lot of thought into it, but certainly you'd be looking at the Geelong list seeing what else you can get out of there. I think the big thing is, I don't know what the money is either, by the way.
Right.
They're saying $750 maybe for 5 years. I don't know. I would think that the Giants could match that offer, not a problem. Well, you'd have to anyway as a club, I would think, because that's the money that I would think he would have been at least offered to stay at the Giants. So I think that they've got to look at that, and then they've got to look at, okay, if they don't match the offer, what other deal can they do to get a player, and I'm talking a very good player, out of the Cats. I'll pull one name out of the hat here, and I look at someone like a Sam De Koning, who's Tom De Koning's brother, who's 202 centimetres, 270 key position player. Go get your pick and go get a really good young player through the door.
Is Leon Cameron the right guy to lead this rebuild that you talk about then at GWS?
I don't know, to be perfectly honest. I sort of spent a year or two with Leon. And he was obviously a young coach at the time, and So really, I haven't seen him a lot since I left that football club. So I think that's a question that you need to ask the people at the Giants.
Sausage, stay there. I'm sorry, we're going to keep you for a few more because I've got a couple more. You can bill Hutchie if that's in, if you need to bill, but we've got to get a break away. Don't forget, you can stream or watch Trade Radio. It's on Monday on the AFL website or the app. Starts Monday and goes till November the 12th. Sausage will be there front and square, and he's going to be with us still on the other side of this break.
I was born, boy.
Deliverr. Simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverr.com.au. The Worth app makes ordering your workshop consumables and products a breeze. Download it today.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
And Stephen Silvani this morning, and the Tempur-Tex machine I'm watching, and I don't know, I've seen lots of reactions. I've never quite seem one like this. Here, this time of Sauce is riveting. It's brilliant, eye-opening, and like a shirt front. It's outstanding. And then there's the odd one that comes through and asks why you are speaking so openly about the Clout and Footy Club, Sauce. I know you would appreciate that there'd be some out there that think this is sour grapes. How do you respond to that?
Oh, because I care about the club. Mm. And people need to know.
Do you think they're in a good place now, though, Carlton? When you look at their performance this year, Sepp, was that a good result, seven wins this year?
I see it. Look, internally, I know the club expected to play finals.
Right.
Internally. They won 7 out of 17 games. So that's a losing season. I think really everything's going to boil down to next year. Next season's a massive season for the Carlton Football Club.
Curnow comes back into that side, fingers crossed. What sort of a difference does that make?
Oh, I think Charlie's a special player.
Yeah.
But I think people are going to have to be patient with Charlie purely because he hasn't played much footy for 2 years. I mean, Tim, you know, when you miss football, a long period of football, it's a tough game. It's a tough game. So he's going to need some time to get his touch back and his game style. And the game actually shifts over a two-year period too. There's different things that actually happen. Fundamentals remain the same, but, you know, teams play differently and your own team plays differently.
When you were building that team and you had your goal-to-goal line down, who was in that goal-to-goal line that you had penciled in?
What we were, and it's not me. I think we have a list management team. We have a recruiting team. And I think we go back to the first year draft. I think it was 2015. To get three key position players in Wietering, Curnow, and also Harry Mackay was a significant part of that spine.
Mm. And midfield-wise, we look at, say, obviously Paddy Cripps has been outstanding. You get Walsh through the door. Paddy Dow, like, he had a down season this year. What did you put that down to?
I really didn't have much to do with the club. Well, I actually had nothing to do with the club this year. But what I do know is that Paddy's first year was very good. Second year he battled, probably second year blues. I think a lot of players battled. But having said that, what I do know about his season this year was that he barely did a pre-season. He's been injured, and he was injured for most of the year. So, and then you're in a hub-type situation of where even from a form point of view, you're playing 12v12, 14v14. They're not real games. And then try and pick up and come and play AFL football at the highest level. I think it's a difficult year, but I think Carlton supporters need to realise that Paddy had been injured for most of the year.
This trade period, like the fascinations and the complexities this trade period, because you haven't seen the kids play all year, and obviously there are some kids that really advance in their progression in that sort of 12-month, 6-month period. How fascinating do you think this period is going to be, and is it going to be busier than we've seen in previous years or not?
Well, we were speaking about that off-air, Tim. I think it's going to be a fascinating period, purely with draft picks as well. Will clubs want draft picks in this draft, or will they want future draft picks? Basically, the bulk of the national draft are Victorian players, and they haven't played. So when you look at players that come in late in their final year of under-18s, I mean, you've got someone like an Oliver, a Harry Mackay, even a Bontempelli. Really, it wasn't until his last probably 3 or 4 weeks of the NABS Cup season or his under-18 that he really propelled himself up in the pecking order. So those players are going to be overlooked. So, and then you look at those players and you go, how many picks are a club's going to have? Are they going to have 2 picks, 3 picks, 5 picks? You would think that a number of these players haven't played a lot, that you'd be really wary of how many picks you want in this particular draft, and are you looking for future picks, knowing that the pool next year could be a lot stronger than this year.
It's a great point, isn't it? Because those players you mentioned, you know, the late bloomers, the Olivers and the Bontempellis, there'll be those players there now who haven't exposed their very best form. So yep. It might be the play to hold future picks because that in the fullness of time, then the Oliver emerges and the Bontempelli emerges and you're best placed to grab a hold of them.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, and it's, look, it's littered really through draft, national drafts that there are bolters that come in late. And, you know, it's like that 18th year is such an important year.
How'd they get the Saad deal done?
Good. Yeah, that's a good one, Gaz. I just think it's a tough one to look at because you look at it from Carlton's point of view. I look at halfbacks, right? And do you give a top 10 pickup for a halfback from a Carlton point of view? And I'd look at it and say probably not. I wouldn't think there's too many halfbacks that have been traded to other clubs for a top 10 pick. Then I look at Essendon and I look at Saad and how important he is to Essendon. And he's finished, I think, top three best and fairest the last 3 years. So he's a bona fide top three player at that football club. So you're looking at a top three pick, either a player that's in a top five or six players at that football club, or you're looking at a really early pick to get that deal done. So,
you can say that now. Removed though,
yeah.
But isn't the problem when you're in the job or your colleagues are and they go, well, I'm not giving a first round pick for halfback flanker, but then you can now see when you're removed that, yeah, well, he's a top three, so I can.
Well, I think you've got to look at it from this, and this is where the manager's really important too. They come into play is that you can go after a player and go, yep, we've got him. You've got to have the manager on board, he's got to be conditioned because the manager wants to know how you're going to get this done, what are you going to give up to get this pick done, what is fair and reasonable. So that manager goes back to the club where that player is coming from and then he tries to condition that club because you want a fair and equitable deal. But if I'm Essendon right at the moment, I'm going, I'm losing a top three player. Yeah. But if I'm Carlton, I'm going, well, he's a halfback flanker. I'm not. So this is where the manager has to come into play a little bit and what is the fair deal. And ultimately, right now, it's Carlton's responsibility to get that deal done.
Spot on. You got time for one more, Tim, and we could have him for another 4 hours given could. The feedback I've got we're getting at the moment.
Can I just ask you a question then about Jack Martin? Because that situation you've just outlined then in terms of conditioning a manager, you would have had to have done that last year with Jack Martin and his manager. For him to understand, mate, we may not get this deal done, but you may actually walk to us during the post-trade period.
That's exactly. So, Jack, I mean, and we tried to be fair and reasonable with Gold Coast. As it worked out, we did a deal on draft night that we swapped picks and whatever. But I guess through good planning in relation to what we had in our TPP, that pretty much happened 4 or 5 years ago, we saved money in our TPP that we knew through the hard work really of probably Sam Power and Macca and that, we had to get the TPP restructured. But we had plenty of money there to be able to walk someone through if that happened. We still wanted to do the deal on during that trade period, but both Jack and his manager had to be not conditioned, but they had to be attuned to say, well, if we don't get this deal done, are you happy to come through this avenue? So what is the fallback period? Because ultimately what would have happened then was we probably would have had to have given up our first round pick to get Jack through the door.
Right.
But we knew we had a fallback position. It's not a great feeling to walk out of trade week knowing that you've just missed out on Jack Martin and Tom Papley. But knowing in 6 weeks' time, you know what, we're going to get Jack Martin for nothing. Mm.
So if Jack Martin had said that time, I'm not prepared to go through this.
Yeah.
You get the deal done. You would have had to have done the deal with Gold Coast and do a better deal.
Pretty much. Or another player may have come into play.
Right, okay.
Another club and said, listen, we're. And that's the thing. You've got to keep that player
attuned. Absolutely to sensational. I can't tell you how much I've loved and enjoyed it, and clearly our audience have. And it was an absolute joy. It was just a refreshing, great hour of honest radio. And thanks so much for coming in. We'll do it again very shortly, I hope.
Thanks, Gaz.
Thanks, Sauce.
The great Stephen Silvani will wrap up after this.